So we're in the middle of this, the Gemara in Brachos, and the Gemara in Brachos talks about the Klal Yisrael fears that the Kadosh Baruch Hu forgot, he's going to forget them, and Hashem said, could a mother forget a newborn child? Could I forget the Karban Eilis? And the Karbanos of Petarachim that you brought in the Midbar. Don't forget. And then Klal Yisrael said to Rabbeinu Shleilim, so if you don't forget, if there's no shikha, if there's no such thing as shikha in front of your kisei kabud, which means it's meduyik. Shikha and zikaron is not shaykh by Kadosh Baruch Hu, because the words remembering and forgetting are only possible, those words only make sense if to some that not all is revealed in front of them, you know. If some things that are revealed by a person, some things are revealed to the person, some people, things are hidden from a person, so then things could switch back and forth, that they're revealed to him, and then he could forget them, and then they're hidden from him, and then you could remember them again. So these words are only appropriate for someone that has blind spots. But Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not that Hashem sees everything and knows everything. It's more than that. It's that all is revealed in front of him. If you're shaykh to hiding things and forgetting things and some things being ignorant of something, so then you have to look at something in order to see it. And if you're looking at it, you see it. If you don't look at it, you don't see it. But Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look at things. Hashem doesn't have to see it. It's all is revealed in front of him. He doesn't look into the... It's not like a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the future. The future is not hidden from him. Hashem doesn't have to remember the past. That's not hidden from him. So the Lashon of the Gemara is very meduyik. Ein shikha v'nei kiseich v'decha. We're talking about remembering and forgetting in front of the kiseich kavod. So that's saying that there's no shikha as a karn in front of God. They would never say that. And they know that. They know that God doesn't... It's not pshat that God doesn't forget. It's not possible for him to forget because the whole concept of forgetting doesn't exist for God. But l'fnei kiseich v'decha means the way you run the world. Do you run the world with forgetting things? And that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu chooses to run the world with certain midas. Is this one of the midas of running the world? So they're not talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydei v'atzmai. It's called quintessential God. They're not talking about the essential God. They're talking about l'fnei kiseich v'decha, and that's mamash lashon haGemara. That if there is there shikha l'fnei kiseich v'decha, or is there not shikha in front of kisei chvedecha? And if there is shikha, so you're going to forget us. And Hashem said, no. That's not how I run the world. There's no shikha of kisei chvedi. He said, okay, if so, then you're going to remember the ma'aseh egel. He said, no, that I do forget. So he said, this is called selective memory. And this is a problem because that doesn't make sense. Okay? This is a problem. So yeah, the Yisaita is a Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvay de'v'atzma. There's no such thing as remembering. There's no such thing as forgetting. There's no such thing as learning or accumulating knowledge. It's all revealed. Nothing's hidden. And the whole deal here is what the midas of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, how he runs the world. I'm saying this is a Yisaita grad. It's never too early to learn this Yisaita. Bilam. Bilam was a Navi. The Gemara says, like, come be Yisrael, K'maisha Ay, that in Klal Yisrael, no one ever was like Maisha. And the Gemara makes a diyak, that in Klal Yisrael, no one was like Maisha. But by the Gayim, by the Umais, there was someone like Maisha. Who was that Bilam? So it means that there's a Tzad HaShav between Bilam and Maisha. And nobody has that. Nobody has that. The Bilam is a Tzad HaShav. There's something in common. The Chazal say that they have in common. And Bilam thinks that he could fool God.
You think that there's no Navi like Moshe, right? No one like Moshe.
Look, come Yisrael, arise in Moshe. No, that's one of the truths. He's not equal to Moshe in Nevuah. He's equal to my. One of the things the Gemara says that he knew the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, that there were certain sages that he knew. He had access to certain secrets, certain sages. It doesn't say he's like a Navi like Moshe.
Only because the Rambam's.
There's a Tzadashava. I said Tzadashava means there's something in common. Irregardless of, so it wasn't, he's not as great as Moshe Nevuah, but there's something he has in common with Moshe. That means he knows something. If he knows something, so how could you think you're a fool God? Anybody who knows anything about God, on the most basic level, knows you can't fool God. And if he has access to sages, he knows that. And the Torah says, he doesn't think he could fool God. It's just that God has certain rules, how he runs the world. And Bilam, according to his knowledge of God, knows that sometimes God acts as if things are hidden from him. Beis Lamed Ayin Mem. Bilam. And God acts in a way as if he doesn't know. And of course God knows. Nothing is hidden from God. But God sets certain rules because of his Tachlis in the Bria. And God acts at times in a way as if he doesn't know. So Bilam was going to capitalize on that. And the Gemara says that it was a nace, that God watched himself, he guided himself. Bilam, up in his judgment, he was right. That he would have been allowed to curse the Bnei Yisrael, and then there would be no Bnei Yisrael. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu was Mishana something. Hashem intervened.
Didn't the rules change once Kodesh got the Torah?
I don't know which ones did. You know, this
they
one.
Did, though.
Yeah, but not this one. This one, there's still a moment during the day where there's a shreklach shlita of din. And someone that knows that moment, they could bring Klal Yisrael's Averis in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu at that moment when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry. You know, so, this is a Kadosh Baruch Hu is choosing to run the world with this midah, similar, you know, it's a muscle for us. It's a person that's angry, and when he's angry, you don't mention, you know, he's angry, he's fuming. You know, the maid, she threw out his stamp collection by mistake. You know, he's really angry at her, and you know, until he comes down, you don't mention the maid's name in the house, correct? You know, because if you mention her name, so he's gonna fire her. And Bilam knew the moment. And Bilam, now could God, you know, block Bilam's curse? God could do anything he wants, but will God do it? So Bilam went for it. He just, based on his understanding of God, God is not going to, because God keeps his own rules. And this is the same thing over here. You know, this is a way of understanding. It's a key. This is a key to understanding many of God's. When God is, you know, people, when they make mistakes in what they think God is going to do, even great people, they study God's rules, the rules he made for running the world, and based on these rules, we can even use God's rules against God. The big Dabaval is the same thing. They're going to build a tower, and they're going to, you know, because I'll say their intention was to stop God from bringing another marble. Then they build a tower, and they're going to make a religious entity there, and they're going to worship the powers, the bee, the Kaikas Atoma, and they're going to altogether make a decision and make a religion revolving around this, of keeping God's intervention out of the world, that if God wishes to bring a flood because of their avoda and their beis hatama, God will be powerless, kiviyachol, and he won't be able to destroy the world. How could you do that? If they know so much about God, don't they know that God can do what he wants? The Torah says God has rules, and one of God's rules is he gave people free will, and if he gives them free will, so he gave them the free will to throw him out of creation also. As long as they come to some consensus, if everyone in the world agrees that God shouldn't intervene in the world, so God gave people that ability. Could God overrule them? Certainly. Will God overrule them? Well, they gambled that he wouldn't, and they were wrong. Okay, but you understand where they're coming from. You know, God gives Bechira Chafshis, but it's only, you know, it's only Bechira Chafshis as long as it doesn't threaten his plan for the world. God has a plan for the world. God made up the plan before he created the world, and no Bechira is going to get in the way of that. And that's it. we don't have that bechira.
Like, what midah would they try to use to, like, remove Hashem from the world? Like,
tell him it's called Tzal Malakim.
If everyone just denounces God, he won't physically... I mean, he's not...
Tzal Malakim
he
means
up everything
that God
the
gave people the power to be like him. That he created so they can create. And he created by expressing his will. This is, he expresses the way he wants it to be. This is what God created the world. He expresses the way he wants it to be, and it materialized. So he created people with Tzal Malakim. That means they can express the way they want it to be, it will materialize. So he gave them the power to use their choice, their choices, to create their own reality. This is the reality with me, and the way I'm going to function in this world, is going to be the way that I say so. Just like when God created the world, says Vayemer Hashem Yehi Or, and it was light. So if they say, all together, that God should not run the world with a system of reward and punishment, where he could intervene and wipe out the world with a flood, we don't want that, then they're going to create a world where that doesn't happen. And you know, the way God intervened wasn't, it wasn't that they built it, they finished it, they got together in total unity, and then he brought a flood anyway. He didn't over... He broke them up before they got to the point where they were... Where they were better sight by the end. So it was a preemptive strike, which means that he is keeping his rules. If they would all get together, if they would have finished that tower, so based on his own rules, he would not be able to have what to do with creation. He stopped them before they finished. So that's called stopping people. You know, he's keeping the rules, going by the book. He's just stopping them before they get there. God does keep his own rules. So that's the Maduk the Gemara. If is there shikul of nekizek v'decha? And if there is shikul of nekizek v'decha, so maybe you'll forget the mice of Sinai. V'anayki le'eshkechecha, I'm not going to forget that. So Shaz, what is God ke'ilu? Forget, and what is God ke'ilu? Remember. And I'm underlining the word ke'ilu as many times as it takes to get the emphasis. I don't know, 10 times, a million times. The word ke'ilu, because God doesn't forget or remember. But ke'ilu, it's as if he does. So we talked about the concept of zikar and shikha, that they're only, you can only remember, forget things that are added on to you. They're not a part of you. Something that's be'etzim. When we talked about my Rebbe of Gift of Learning, it wasn't possible for him to get what, for, you know, for him to forget what he, you know, when he was well, for him to forget what he learned, because it's like forgetting himself. You don't forget yourself. To some people, I would say to a great many people, there's the person and then there's the learning. And the person happens to like learning, but the learning is one thing and the person's another thing. And the two separate things. So they could depart. They could depart from one another. Shikra doesn't mean to forget. Shikra means that the knowledge departs from you. Bye-bye birdie, you know. So that the knowledge flies away. It's not forgetting. And you can only forget something that's separate from you to begin with. And you meet somebody in the street, he tells you your name. So you and him are two different people. You're thrown together for the moment. You're enjoying each other's company. You're a very memorable person. And then a year later, you see him again, you forget that you ever met him before. Because it's two separate people. And they just they came together for one moment, for an instant, and went their own way. So that's... But could you forget your kidneys? You know, could you forget your heart? Could you forget your... who? And you're going to tell me, yes, there's such thing as amnesia. And I'll tell you, that's sick people, okay? We're talking about a healthy person. Mm-hmm. A healthy person. Now, they say, once we're on the topic, they say that people that undergo hypnosis, and to a certain extent, they are surrendering their will to the hypnotist. The hypnotist can implant suggestions. They get them to do things based on... He can implant things. But I've read this. I haven't seen it. I've read it. That a hypnotist cannot implants a suggestion, it's going to go against the nature of the person. So why is that?
I saw somebody once.
Because you can't separate the person from the person. We had a Rebbe and his staff that was able to hypnotize.
Yeah? Who?
I didn't say.
I saw someone once.
Yesterday. He stopped.
Why?
Because he couldn't get someone out of it once.
For how long?
A while. So he stopped. That was the last time he did it.
What happened to the person?
He got him out eventually. It wasn't like when he expected to.
Like days later?
I don't know. I could find out. I don't know. So he stopped. But he did it. He was even self-trained. He didn't even learn it professionally. He just tried it because he might have seen it and he read something about it.
I think everybody's Zadoff. I'm sticking with that through and through.
Oh, you're so wrong.
Okay. No, that means I'm right.
Yeah, I saw somebody once get hypnotized and they tried to, it was like a game they were playing. It was professionally done with a bunch of people. And he tried to get one person to say something. And the person, it was weird, he was still in the hypnosis. But he looked at him and he said, no, you can't get me to do that. It was the weirdest thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's like, I would never believe that. Something like that. It was very strange. And then he was back in the hypnosis. It's a very weird situation.
Wow. Mm-hmm. you get people to do, embarrassing things about them.
Yeah, but let's say you to get one person to mock someone or make fun of them, if they're by nature a very sensitive soul, you can't get them to do it.
Something embarrassing is separate from you. It's something like
Someone to do something that's embarrassing to themselves, they may not even be aware of what they're doing. We're talking about to act against your nature.
It's a crazy thing to think about. You inside the person's mind.
Yeah, I don't understand it. But this I do understand, that you can't get the person to act against himself. We have parts of ourselves that they're not part of us. We do them. We're accustomed to doing certain things or thinking a certain way. It's not part of the core person. And that's something that hypnosis could affect. But the core person is the core person. You can't change a person. The Bnei Yisrael by Matan Torah by Sinai, the Bnei Yisrael that were Mekabel Torah and said Nasa v'Nishma, that they heard Anoich Hashem Elokecha, and they brought the Korban Eilis and they brought the Petah Rechem, that's the Bnei Yisrael. And the ones that worshipped Egel are not the Bnei Yisrael. Now, granted, it's technically correct, because the ones that actually worshipped Egel were the Erev Rav. It's interesting that there were three levels.
But didn't they ever see the Torah with us?
They weren't at the bottom of the mountain. It's a very interesting, they're technically Jewish, but they didn't have, they're not in the camp. That means that they're an appendage. They're an appendage. They're like a pihalachi, yes. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we're so messed up nowadays, is because the Erev Rav is, and the word Erev Rav means mixture. Erev is similar to the word Tarevis, Meurav. Oh, if you go to a grill place, you want chicken or you want Meurav. Shvama Meurav. That's Erev Rav. That's one of the reasons why we're so challenged nowadays. But that's the core. There's three groups. There's one group that they didn't donate anything for the Mishkan. There's another group that donated to the Mishkan, and there's a third group that the donations weren't accepted for the Mishkan. And when the Farshim say that the Erev Rav, they wanted to donate for the Mishkan and they didn't take it. The Bnei Yisrael wanted to donate to the Mishkan and they took it, and Leviim didn't donate to the Mishkan at all. Because Leviim, the Mishkan was a kapara of Chet HaEgel. Leviim didn't do the Chet HaEgel, so they didn't have to give any money for the kapara. The Bnei Yisrael, they're guilty by association. They didn't actually worship the Chet HaEgel. I mean, the ones that did were killed out. We're talking about after it's all over, the survivors.
Weren't all the Arab killed then?
No.
No. Why?
I was at a Shabbos table.
I don't know why.
You should have.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, I was at a Shabbos table, and someone's like, Jordy, so do you think you would have done it? I'm like, no, I'm a Levi. I would have killed you where you stand.
There is Erev Rav that somehow survived, which is a Pella. It's a good kasha. But there is a presence of the Erev Rav that survived the Chet Egel. It's a Pella. You know, there could be people in the Erev Rav that, I don't know how to,
there could be some good people there.
There were some that didn't, right? Or there were some that was borderline. Or they had a schus. Or they died a year later. Hashem gave them, the Gemara talks about a saita. The mission talks about a saita she could blow up a year later. Some of them had a schus. There were groups that had hasra. The ones that they caught with their red hat, their hands red hot. So they were killed out by Levium. Moshe Rabbeinu, the ones that no one knew about, Moshe Rabbeinu gave them to drink for a mixture of water with the eagle that was ground up. And could be ones that they weren't caught and they took the drink, and they didn't die right away. They could have had a schus. Sometimes the schus is that Hashem needs people around to test the Bnei Yisrael. They could have had a schus.
Moshe was the one that saved them. That brought them. The Erev Rav,
Lech Kirei Kishicha Samcha. Yeah.
So why?
He's the one that was Megaya then. Hashem let him make that mistake. And then he showed him. Moshe Rabbeinu saved the Erev Rav, he also saved Micha. And they both caused him a lot of misery. So anyway, so the Erev Rav, they didn't take the nations from the Erev Rav. Because they're not allowing the Erev Rav to have a kapara. For the Mice Eagle. So the Erev Rav, they wanted to get a kapara, and they wanted to give money, and the money wasn't accepted because you're not getting a kapara. Now that doesn't sound fair. Or the Levium didn't give donations because they didn't need a kapara. Klal Yisrael needed a kapara, first because they didn't make a macha. They didn't make a macha, right. They didn't make a Afghana. So they have a chet, they're part of the chet Eagle because they stood by and let it happen. And the kapara is that they donate for the Mishkan. And the Erev Rav, they also wanted to donate to the Mishkan. They wanted a kapara. And now you can't donate. What's the difference? Taxes, kaparas are people that don't really do anything wrong. You get kaparas are people that fall into chet.
Makos, if you killed someone
by mistake. By mistake. There's no Erev Miklat. They used to say, my Rebbe Gifter used to quote someone that it says Leisigzal and Beheshav is Exel Asher Gazal. It doesn't say that for the Gazlan. A Gazlan, don't steal, and if you steal, give it back. A Gazlan, you put him in jail. There's no, give it back or bring a carbon or whatever. A Gazlan is dangerous to society. You have someone that's going around stealing from people. You don't want him to just start paying people back and life should go on as usual. Lock him up. Keep him away from people. He said
the
only...
Is jail?
Yes, there is. The Rabbanan had a jail. They could even kill a person in jail by refusing to feed him. Or they had other means besides the Abba Mises Bezdin. But the Rebbe used to say that the Sigzal is for someone like the Chavetz Chaim, that by accident he's nichshel in something, which is pegay in somebody else's money, so it's a way for him to make, for tzaddikim to make restitution. The terrorists were tzaddikim. The Erev Rav, they did that.
Enter.
Come in.
Erev Rav.
Shalom, shalom.
What were you saying about the Erev Rav? That's
amazing. Be part of such an illustrious society.
Yeah, Klal Yisrael is nimshel to a pure dove because of all the birds, the dove is the only one that's faithful to its mate. All the birds, the male and the female, they cross with each other. They don't have any, they don't have a dedicated mate. But the Yaina,
one mate its whole life.
Is one mate for life.
The pigeons in San Francisco.
Pigeons are not doves. I'm talking about doves.
Yeah, different.
like a distinct
creed. Well, something that a rabbi probably made. That is a new story. Every rabbi says that, and they say they saw it in National Geographic.
I'm gonna check out right now.
Well, we're talking about doves right now. Klai Yisrael, when they do a chet, so they get kapara because they never really did the chet in the first place. They fell into chet. There was extenuating circumstances, and they didn't do it with their full, you know, their full awareness.
There's a
there's something missing. Do you know what we say on the holiest night of the year and during Kol Nidre, Yom Kippur? We say after Kol Nidre some psukim. The Chazal says it and we say it afterwards. And the Pasuk says, V'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael v'lager hagor b'seicham ki l'chol ha'am b'shgaga. Atone for all the members of the congregation of Israel and for the stranger who dwells in their midst. Because the entire nation is b'shegig. B'shegig means they sin inadvertently. And the Chofetz Chaim asks, how could you say the entire nation sins inadvertently when some of the nation sins with full intent? And the Chofetz Chaim said, that's inadvertently. They don't know what it is. He said, if anybody would know what they do by sinning, they would never sin. Even someone that sins deliberately is not sinning deliberately. He doesn't know what a sin is. Yeah, before Kol Nidre, there's also something which we say. Be'ezhi Shamala, Be'ezhi Shamata, and Amatirim, the Spalim Avayanim. That people that are Avayanim, that means they're doing Avayanim, B'mezid, they're welcomed into the synagogue, and we're praying with them together. Because there are no Avayanim. Avayanim come from a lack of awareness of what an Avayanim is. If you don't know what something is, then you can't be held liable for breaking it. You have something that looks like a cheap lamp, you don't realize it's a priceless Ming and Ting from the third dynasty, and you break it. So in your mind, you broke a lamp. In the owner's mind, you destroyed something priceless. Is that called Mazid? That's not Mazid.
I understand, like Micha, his son, right? Is Micha, or... Menashe. What was he missing? What was his meaning? Was something that he didn't understand?
I don't know. Menashe was someone that Chizkiyah saw with Ruach HaKadosh ahead of time that he was going to be like that. So that means he was born for a Messiah like that. In the end, he did Tshuva. He did Tshuva that no one had ever done before. He was Mechadosh and Tshuva. He did a chiddush, but this is something which was known ahead of time, which means that everyone is born with a nisayon. Some people's nisayon is harder than others, and he had this nisayon, and he failed until the end of his life. But he failed. He made the wrong choices. But he was tested.
What did he do?
He was guilty of wanton of Arizara and shvichas damim. No.
He brought in the Avodah Zarah into the Heichel.
What was the...
Menashe came to one of the Chachmei Agmar in a dream, and he said that if you would have lived in our time, you would have lifted up the hem of your garments and run after the Avodah Zarah. So that Gemara basically means you don't judge, you don't understand. Yeah. So the Erev Rab, they did the Avera. Klai Yisrael didn't do the Avera, they just did the Avera. You know, the Erev Rab did the Avera. That means the Avera was... They identified with the Avera. They're worshipping the golden calf. That is us. We are, you know, that is what we do. Yeah. That's what we do, you know. You know, why'd you worship the golden calf? Because that's what we do. And the Bnei Yisrael, they fell. This is not us. You ever heard the expression? I don't know what came over me. I just wasn't myself. So that's how the Bnei Yisrael were over the Avera. And the Erev Rav, they did it they didn't just do it with their acts, they didn't just do it with their minds, they did it with their self. So they weren't mekabel Trumas HaMishkan from the Erev Rav. Because Kapara means to wipe the Avera off. You can't wipe an Avera off if it's a part of you. If Avera is like a slime, you can wash off slime. But if it's a part of the person, you can't wash a part of the person off. It's there. It takes a tremendous amount of work and tikkun in order to get rid of it. You know, a person basically has to become a totally different person. A regular Baal Tshuva, the Baal Tshuva, the standard, you know, standard issue Baal Tshuva. So all he has to do is come in touch with his true self. He say, hey, I can't believe I did that avera. I'm not like that. So he has to come, he has to discover his true self. But someone from the Erevav that does an avera, they can only do tshuva if they stop being Erevav. That means they have to become someone else. So a Yid has to find his true self. And an Erevav has to stop being his true self and become someone totally different.
It's weird that if they accepted the Torah with us, technically they're just the same.
They didn't accept it with us. They didn't have the same Gilui HaNevuah. They didn't have the same Nasa V'Nishma. It's not with us. They weren't standing with Klal Yisrael. They weren't in the Machana. There's no Klal Yisrael Arev Mezelezeh with the Erevav. They were a group apart. They didn't join. And it wasn't just because the Bnei Yisrael didn't let them. They weren't giving themselves B'Lev Shalom over to being a part of the Jewish people. They weren't being mevatel of their identity. They were, in their minds, they were still separate. Like their own tribe.
What was the tshuva that said Menashe?
Well, he was captured in war, and he was placed in a pit, and he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the pit. And his tshuva wasn't accepted. He went too far. You know, this Kadosh Baruch Hu has malachim, that their tafkid is, when someone does tshuva, their tafkid is to help him, and his tshuva should be niskabel. You know, they're spiritual forces to help a person come closer to God. Hashem has a world like that. If you reach out, so then you have spiritual forces that they help. And the Gemara says that the malachim refused to help Menashe. He can't do tshuva. He went too far. He can't do tshuva. So Kadosh Baruch Hu dug out a place under his kisei covered for Menashe tshuva. That's Lashon HaGemara. Which means that Menashe, through his tshuva, created a new type of tshuva that never was before. No one had ever come back from where he went. You know, people might have gone that far, sure, but no one ever came back. There was never a need for tshuva for such avaras because either people didn't go that far in the first place or if they went, they never came back. So you don't need to make tshuva. This is a new tshuva. It's a tshuva for the hopeless. It's a tshuva for the ones that they went so far that they can never come back. So it's a tshuva for the ones that can't come back, if you can understand that. I certainly can't. So now you're kind of tshuva. He said that he pointed to the Kabbanis. Klal Yisrael is Hashem created Klal Yisrael directly. He said the Avraham Achuyos were created by Kadosh Baruch Hu hiding his presence. They're a natural outcome of a Kadosh Baruch Hu hiding his presence, and the Bnei Yisrael are created directly. That's why we call Banim. The word Banim does not mean son of God. The word Banim means the word direct outcome of his will. And Gentiles are an indirect outcome of his will. And that's why we call Banim. He points out, he said, the Kabbanis are all important because if one views himself, if we view ourselves as inseparable from God, so we have to, it's not just that it's nice to get close to him, and it's not just that it's important to get close to him. If we are in a direct expression of God's will, so then as part of our essence, we have to get close to him. If we're not getting close to him, then we're missing something for our very essence. So it's not just what we do, it's part of what we are. And he says that manifested itself by the Karbanos that brought in the Midrash. He says anybody that would think rationally would say that the time for Karbanos is not now. You can't get, you know, you don't, it's not a place where there's animals. It's not a place you can replenish your stocks. What you have is what you have. And you can't get more, you know, it's a, you've got it. So you do what you, I'm saying that a thinking person, a person who reflects, let's say we're leaving Mitzrayim, we're going to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to be there in 11 days, we'll bring the Karbanos then, or they're going to Eretz Yisrael, build the Beis HaMikdash. And this is before the Mishkan, pre-Mishkan. There's no place to do it. There's no Mizbeah. What is it? Well, we're going to be Mekabel Torah, go straight to Eretz Yisrael, build the Beis HaMikdash, and bring Karbanos then. But that's if you're thinking it out. But if you are a direct creation of a Kohen, direct creation of us, and you, the fabric of your being, of your essence, is from God's will, so Karbanos is not an option. It's not a you don't calculate, you don't reason. You do it. Karban means karov, right, to come close. So bringing Karbanos in the midbar is a simon that Klal Yisrael has a direct relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, because otherwise they would have found an excuse not to do it. They found it impossible to be without Karbanos. Being without Karbanos was an impossibility. V'achibur hazeh, and this relationship, this bond, is mitzad etzem Yisrael. It's from the point of quintessential Judaism. Etzem Yisrael. Etzem Yisrael. They did the Aveira. They did the Aveira of the Ego.
What makes one thing part of the class and the other not? The quintessential aren't. Isn't the phrase "you are what you do"?
It's what you are. Then
yeah, whatever. It's what you are that define what you do that defines you.
No, you are not what you do.
So what makes one thing part of Klal Yisrael and the other not?
Well, who made Klal Yisrael in the first place?
Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov.
Right.
They made the DNA. So basically, what we say is anything from them...
A grandchild is the grandparents. They come from them.
Right.
Grandparents created them. We are Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. What are you? Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gaim Lachasadim. The Gemara says if you see someone that doesn't have these midas, you're not from Zer Yisrael. Because you can't be from Zer Yisrael and not have these midas. You are
Rachmanim. Rachmanim.
Rachmanim is Rachmanis. Baishanim, people that have a sense of shame. And Gaim Lachasadim.
Are we brazen or bashanim? I think I asked this before.
Yeah, the Gemara says that Yisrael is azen sheba umes. That's only klapi the umes. When they, when they turn towards the umes, they're azen. But klapi a kadosh baruch hu, they're mayayna. Mayn taibele.
You guys can call me Taibula from now on. Taibula Sailor? That could be your store.
So this is the Bruce of Father and Klal Yisrael. We described so much how Klal Yisrael is part and parcel of God's will. And the Karbanos Nelechtek achai b'midba b'ertzai zeruah. So how could they have done the eagle? How could someone that's part and parcel of God's will act not in accordance with God's will? So b'zei, it must be that we broke away. Shayach to break away. And it's shayach to break away only if God is not the essence. So here's the problem. Don't look at the problem.
What does it mean Hashem chooses to run the rule world ki'ilu, that he remembers the fact that Klal Yisrael is part of Hashem and part of his will, as opposed to the fact that they can stray from his will? They're both true and possible.
What's the options again?
Well, the options are what we said, is that Klal Yisrael is part of Hashem's will, or Klal Yisrael is meaning part of Hashem's will, meaning we brought the korbanos. It didn't make sense, but we brought them anyways, because that's the car of Hashem was beyond logic. And the fact that we did the eagle, those are both realities of Klal Yisrael that we can stray, and we've done before. But that we still are very much trying to do the Ratzon of Hashem and be a part of the Ratzon of Hashem. What does it mean to run the world one way as opposed to the other?
Hashem runs the world in a way that his presence will be revealed. Mm-hmm. In order to reveal, you have to hide something that was never hidden. Can't be revealed. Mm-hmm. Okay, any questions? Mm-hmm. You okay? You got it?
So therefore what? So therefore he's hiding more or less, depending on how close Klal Yisrael is and how much they're outside.
Exactly. Kadosh Baruch Hu hides and he allows us to discover him. He's hiding for a purpose. He's hiding for us to discover him. Mm-hmm. And when we discover him, so he doesn't hide anymore. Mm-hmm. Huh. Okay. Sorry. It's a good ass fella. Look at that stuff.